some of the rhythms that I had created were the things that sort of broke during my crisis. Like everything was so chaotic, I couldn't keep any rhythms because there was no normal. And what was happening was I needed to create a new normal. And so there was a lot of chaos between my old normal and my new normal. But as I fought for a new normal and started those rhythms again, I found a new sense of peace and joy being restored in my life. And then I was able to come out on the other side.
Hey everyone, welcome back to an all new episode of the Wife Like Me podcast. I'm so excited. You know me probably if you've been around for any amount of time. I'm Amanda Davison, your friend and host here at A Wife Like Me. And we are meeting a brand new friend today because she's got a brand new book out. Hey, what's up? Still standing. Subtitle, How to Live in God's Light While Wrestling with the Dark. Courtney Joseph, is it Falick? I didn't even ask. Okay, yes, I got it right. Yes. Courtney Joseph Falick, welcome to A Wife Like Me. You are our new friend.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
I know, me too. We have so many questions. If you're just joining, we are going to be talking about journeying through infidelity, what life is like on the other side of that. We're going to be talking about hope and help and how to wrestle with God and remain standing even in the darkest of times. And that's your story, Courtney. We're going to dive into that. I'm so excited. But before we do, why don't you just introduce yourself to our community if they don't already know who you are?
Okay. I am Courtney Joseph Falick, as you said. And most people know me as Courtney Joseph because I am just newly married. So that is a new added last name, Falick, there. And I began writing out online in 2008, actually. And back then, I was a homeschool mom of two, and I homeschooled them for 7 years. And I would post recipes and write about marriage and parenting and devotionals and all those things. And then unexpectedly, I discovered that my husband was being unfaithful. And so at that time, my children then began going to regular school. I was fighting for my marriage. I closed the window of my life out online, like all my recipes and parenting and all the things I was sharing. I closed that window and I just continued on writing devotionals and Bible studies and just waiting to see what was going to happen as far as in my marriage. And I fought for it tooth and nail. And it did not end up reconciled after taking him back many times. And so I found myself a couple years after just letting it go and becoming a single mom. And so for 8 years, I was a single mom before now. My children are away at college. They are freshmen and sophomore at Liberty University. And I am remarried this past summer to a wonderful godly man from my church whose wife had passed away before we began talking. And so he has his own story. And in that, I gained two daughters that are in their 20s. So, and I'm still writing out online at womenlivingwell.org. And we are blogging through the Bible, one chapter a day and 36 books of the Bible in right now. So
awesome. I love that so much. I love that. And thank you for giving us a brief synopsis. And, you know, I think that we head into marriage just obviously hoping for the best and not really having any idea of like what the Lord has in store for us personally. Like, and obviously, you know, following Jesus, we, I think, assume that certain things will end up or turn out a certain way. And we know that's not true, but then like we're so shocked when something, you know, really isn't what we thought it would be. Right. Could you describe for us what life was like before you discovered infidelity in your marriage?
Yeah, we were high school sweethearts. So we met in high school, dated for 4 years. I went to the Moody Bible Institute. He went to Ohio State University. And we were married for 19 years before this discovery. But I loved being married to him. I loved him with all my heart. We were a team. We led Bible studies together at our home for 10 years. He was a deacon in our church. Wow. And so we served together. We went on a mission trip to Mexico. I mean, as far as everything I was experiencing in my marriage, I felt he was a spiritual leader. He was a wonderful father and good husband. I mean, we fought. We had our moments, of course, but nothing that I could see. Looking back, I now see the red flags, but when I was in it, I didn't see it. He was a wonderful protector, provider, all those things. The main thing I can say that I see was he traveled for business, and that is where it took place. And so my father traveled for business and he was a wonderfully faithful man. And my parents have been married over 50 years. So that never even crossed my mind that this would lead to a temptation that would lead to the end of our marriage.
Thank you for sharing that. You mentioned, and I just think that's really important. We've talked about betrayal and infidelity on A Wife Like Me before, but I think it's just important to note that sometimes you check all the boxes, right? We're Christian. He's a leader in the church. He's a wonderful protector, provider, da 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 da. The good list goes on. People like him, you know, da 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 da.
Right. Yes.
And yet it doesn't guarantee a faithful spouse.
Mm-hmm. And on one hand, enemy is real.
Yes.
Spiritual warfare is real. And he hates us. He hates our marriages. He hates our children. Anything he can do to tear it apart and tear it down, he will.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, he gets in there. And so the enemy was not my husband. It is still Satan. And that's where, you know, I felt the battle the most. I mean, fighting for my marriage, fighting for my family.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think we talk about the red flag, him being gone. Can you give us a picture for work? Can you give us a picture? You mentioned that, you know, you took him back in multiple times, 8 times, yeah. I think you said. And can you, for those of us, because so many women watching, listening, either have been, are, or know somebody who's walking that path, who there's a wife they know of or themselves who've been made aware of infidelity. And now they're on this journey they never wanted to be on, trying to navigate what to do, how to move forward with or without or what and all the things. And I know for each of us, the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us and shows us the way for each of us. And there's not a cookie cutter formula to, you know, for each of us of here's what you got to do if you found mm-hmm. out whatever, right? But could you maybe just give the wives out there some guidance on looking back on that season, what you've learned about that, or perhaps you wouldn't have done anything different. But do you know what I mean? Like, give us some help on like, what type of boundaries did you have in place?
Yeah.
What were your expectations of him during that time of rebuilding? Was he following through with those expectations? And those types of commitments to rebuilding, you know, those types of things.
Okay. So I did not have the best boundaries in place. I had not read all the things about boundaries at the time. I was following what I believed was in God's word. One of my life verses was Luke 9:23. And if any man comes after me, he must, you know, it's about living the crucified life, must deny himself, take up the cross daily and follow him. And so I was like, okay, I need to deny myself. And what, I knew I had biblical grounds for divorce. So biblically, I knew that. But at the same time, I was following Romans 12, where it talks about, you know, if your enemy's hungry, give him something to drink, or thirsty, give him something to drink. If he's hungry, give him something to eat. You know, and I just was like, I am really going to go the extra mile and turn the other cheek and seek to forgive. And I had people in my life who were like, oh my goodness, does she have no self-worth and no self-esteem that she would take him back over and over? And I was like, no, this is what unconditional love looks like. When he says he's sorry, I will forgive. Mm-hmm. I think the part I probably missed in that was that no matter how much I loved him, trust is not something that can just be given back to very easily over and over. And I definitely was giving that back easily. Mm-hmm. But I will say part of the journey was, of course, at the beginning, you imagine that the apologies are real and that you're going, that this is going to go somewhere. And you're just like, oh, my heart went out to him. Like, oh, you know, like, I mean, he made a terribly, you know, mistake and people are going to disrespect him. Now, I wanted to cover it over. I mean, the Bible says in Proverbs, a love covers a multitude of sins. So I even felt this need to like, we don't need to let everyone know. We'll just work on this privately. Mm-hmm. Someday we may tell, but for now, let's, you know, like tamp this down and see if we can fix this, you know? And so our divorce happened pretty quickly. We had a dissolution rather than a divorce where you have lawyers involved. And so a dissolution is a divorce. The only difference is you sit at the kitchen table and we divided things at the kitchen table between the two of us. It's put into a contract. Then at the end, the lawyer looks at it and then it's official. You go to court and it is, the divorce is finalized, but we decided it. We didn't argue back and forth over the things. And the reason why I went that route was because I was hoping for reconciliation and I didn't want to get in a big fight over all the stuff and over the kids. I was trying to not fight as much as possible with him so that I could leave doors open for us to reconcile. Mm. And so truly believed he was going to, because I truly believed the goodness in this man. And the man I knew for those 19 years plus 4 years of dating was not the man I was faced with after the infidelities. And so I am one who's an optimist and I think very trusting. And so I do think that kept me, trying to work maybe longer than some people might have, but I don't regret it. Because I believe that I gave it everything I had. And so when I finally did let it go and begin the grief process of, you know, like moving forward and accepting that he was not going to, so let's go back for 1 second. I did have some conditions after. I didn't have conditions at the beginning. It was like unconditional, but I did get to a point where I was like, okay, you have to go to counseling. We need to try a new church. Maybe we need to get a new home. Like we began like doing some of these things and he was doing it, but then he kept on falling into the infidelity and God would allow me to discover that through unique ways. I mean, God was protecting me through all of it. The discoveries kept being made. And yet while he is in the middle of also making steps forward. And so it came to the point where I said, no more. Like I started a counselor maybe about 18 months in. And I did start looking, I subscribed to boundaries.me. It's Dr. Cloud's line. And I subscribed to it because people were like, you need to learn boundaries. So I did.
Like, what do you mean?
Love them. I'm just going to love them back to, the, you know, to being, doing what is right, not realizing that that was enabling him and all kinds of things that are not probably the best. And so I had to, so I was learning by fire, like as I was going and I was getting stronger every day. And so at the beginning, he still had a key to my house and the garage door opener. He was welcome to come back anytime. He would come visit the kids and then leave. And, you know, and we were doing this and my counselor was like, this is not healthy. This is not congruent with his actions and your behavior. Those two are not congruent. Like you need to. So I started getting healthier. I started putting in the boundaries. And as I did, it did make reconciliation harder and harder. And he started feeling like I didn't love him unconditionally. He's like, you've put conditions in. I have to go to counseling. And I'm like, yeah, because I still love you, but I can't trust you. And that is what I was working hard to regain. And so, So it took a couple of years before I realized that we were going to not make it.
Well, that's really, thank you for sharing all that. And I think it just speaks to, you don't know what you don't know. And you were thrown into a situation, you had no idea like what to do with it or how to move forward or, you know, but yet you had a few pieces of scripture, perhaps even taken out of context in that specific, you know, in your situation, perhaps not, but you were doing the best you could, you know, and you were just, you personally knew what you needed to do to feel confident about where the Lord was leading you. And that's at the end of the day, that's what we have to do. And I do love that you, in reflecting on all of that, that time period, you're able to see, you know, as I got healthy, then things started to change. You started to understand that love doesn't allow another to sin against us and doesn't allow, you know, like, I just think that's so that's biblical, right? I love you so much. So I'm not going to allow you to sin against me and our family in this way.
Right. Because it's not what's best for him either.
Right. Right.
For him to just be stuck in this cycle was unhealthy for him as well.
Yes.
And so that's the part of love that's like the tough love,
yeah.
You know? And that was something I had to learn. Because as a parent, I think I'm a grace-filled parent, but I also had boundaries with my kids. But in my marriage, it was much harder for me.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's normal because a lot of, you know, we are programmed and in many cases and in different cultures, maybe more so than others, right? Of, you know, depending on where you're, you know, brought up or whatever, how your parents teach us about marriage and things like that, just to pre-programmed to think and believe that if something happens, then this is the right response or biblical response or whatever. And it might even not be biblical, but that's what we have to work off of. And so when something happens, that's what we do. Right.
Right.
But I love this statement. You said something along the lines of, I started getting healthier and it made reconciliation harder. And mm-hmm. I know why, but do you want to speak into that?
Well, as my confidence grew, as I got healthier and I understood my boundaries, my confidence in God grew as well, because I was starting to let go of the fear of like, how will I go forward without my husband? That empty chair at the table, that empty spot in the garage, all the reminders of him, I had grief. But then there was this point where I was like, but I can do this. Like I am capable of standing on my own two feet and making it. And once I got healthier, I got rid of fear. It really was a lot of fear of like the boundaries were scary to put in place because I knew it was going to change the dynamic. It really rattled the dynamic that we had. And I changed because he was not changing. I had to make the change of myself. And when I changed, everything shifted. But I don't regret it because it's what needed to happen for me to move forward. For the sake of my children and even for him. And so that's.
Yes. And I think that it's important for us wives to hear that, you know, if we are in a situation, which I know so many are, talk to you all day long, where our husband is not faithful in some area in his life, perhaps his love affair is with gambling or alcohol or food or I don't know, any, you fill in the blank,
right?
You know, when it is much more comfortable to enable or allow that behavior just to continue because right. Like you say, the dynamic then stays status quo. And especially mm-hmm. if our personalities naturally are just one that we just don't want to rock the boat. We just want to people please and keep things happy and don't talk about the hard things, all that, then it makes it even more tricky. But as you were saying, like, as you began to get healthier and mm-hmm. see what real love looks like and what loving yourself, allowing God to love you and seeing how he cares for you and da, 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 then... Yeah. Then you were able to say like, hey, wait a second. You know, I love that you said the fear just, once the fear was gone, I was able to, you know, see things differently almost and then expect differently. And that disrupted the dynamic. And it's just good to know that as we get healthier, that will happen and that is okay. I don't know if you want to say anything more to that, but
yeah, I mean, because it wasn't just also me getting stronger on my own two feet, but on my leaning on God. Like I was like, my faith was like, I'm going to be okay. I can trust him just one day at a time because it was overwhelming. When I looked all the way forward, I'm like, oh, I have a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old. How am I going to do this? I'm a stay at home homeschooling mom. How will I afford this? Like all the questions that were going, but when I just, and then you look back and regret and the sadness and so all these emotions that are going on. But when I stood in God's light, his word is a light, you know, a lamp to my feet and a light to my path one day at a time. He didn't give me the light that I could see all the way to where I'm at today in 2024. He gave me just enough for the day, the light I needed that day. And when I took it one day at a time, And then in those days I was overcoming and I was making it and I was doing it. That is when my confidence in God and Him being my firm foundation began to get stronger and stronger, to where I was able to get emotionally and spiritually and mentally, like, you know, healthier and out of that dark place and out of that dark valley that where Satan just wanted to hold me down with, like, oh, what's wrong with you that you, your husband would want to be with another woman, you know? And then just, there were just so many things that could drown me, but I started knowing who I was in Christ. I am loved and I am, you know, that He is near and He is a safe refuge. And just as I began to just keep pressing in to God's word, I got stronger and stronger. It really was God strengthening me.
Yes. For each day. Yes. And that is what I know so many women need right now today. So thank you for sharing that. That's like so helpful for them. You mentioned like the dark places in Romans 8:28. I feel like we should do a whole podcast just on this verse, but it tells us that God works everything together for the good of those who love Him.
Right.
I have friends who don't follow Jesus, who have walked through very difficult things. Before I knew Jesus, I didn't know Jesus until I was 29, but I would hear a verse like that and I'd be like, yeah, no. Like, there's such a, well, there's a lot we could go into with that verse. But what do you make of that when you have lived in, you fought, you did everything, you were truly to the, up until the very end, thinking, believing He's coming, like this is going to be restored.
This is where God shines best. This is what my God does. He transforms lives. He changes people. Like that's what my whole, I went to Moody Bible, I got a degree in evangelism and discipleship. And so this is like my whole, like, I was like, God's going to do this. This is what He does best. This is when He's on best display. And then I was like, oh my gosh, that's not going to happen. And so yes, when we clearly know what we're looking at is not good, it does make us stop, because cancer is not good. Losing our job is not good. A child being sick or passing away is not good. And when we're faced with those things, that's when it does make us question God. And I think that I had a lot of people who are like, oh, God's going to use this. You know, He's going to use your story. And I'm like, no, a million times, no, this is not the story I want. I want to encourage women in their marriages, not be the one who went through the divorce and encourages people. And so I could not see the good in it when I was in the midst of my mess. And it was only through days passing by. And what I can say is this, because we're still going to always, my children forever are going to be dealing with the fact that they have two separate homes. This is like having a chronic illness. It's not going to go away. They are now in a blended family and they have to deal with that. And so there's a ripple effect through generations and it's not going away. But under the big umbrella of me praying for the reconciliation of my marriage, there were so many little prayers that God has answered. God, protect me. God, give me strength for today. God, please provide for today. God, help me. Help. When I would cry out for help, crying on my bathroom floor, He did. I woke up another day with strength, with joy. And as I continued to look for joy in my life, when life was not enjoyable, as I fought for it, God did. He answered those prayers. And so in the midst of our very big, hard things that are not good, we can experience the goodness of God because His goodness is not us having like the perfect life that maybe you see on television of just being wealthy and beautiful and all those things. That's not the goodness of God. We have the riches of His grace and His mercy and His love and peace and joy. It's these things inside our soul that give us the abundant life. Mm-hmm. And He says He came to give us the abundant life, but the enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy. And so that's, we experience that stealing. It's like He's stealing my marriage. He's stealing my future. Mm-hmm. But God has given us an abundant life and it's in here. It's the abundance of love and that joy and that peace that we can stand on, and the promise of eternal hope in heaven through Christ. I mean, that we hold on to that as our faith and our hope in the end as we pull through these hard things.
Yes, yes. Amen. Amen. You know, one of the things I have found, which I'm sure we can all agree with, or maybe not, but for me, I guess, you know, along the years of my life, there have been different seasons where I've just been so disillusioned by something. And definitely I see that, like, oh, I thought that was going to be this and it was that, right? Mm-hmm. Wow. Like that was a letdown, or, you know, I'm just so surprised that it happened that way or whatever. And right. It's so easy to get stuck in a place of woe is me, you know, like victimhood, like, you know, like I'm the one that has been wronged, hurt, rejected, damaged, whatever, fill in the blank.
Yes.
How did you move past that? You know, that space.
Right. Well, I think part of it is recognizing where those thoughts come from. I mean, the enemy attacks us in our mind and he lies to us. He lied in the Garden of Eden and that is how it all began. And he continues to lie to us. And he whispers, God doesn't care. God doesn't love you. There's no hope. What's your future going to be like? He gives you all those fears and all those worries. And so the only way for me was to get into God's word and shine his truth over the lies so that I could see clearly that I am loved, that God is with me, that he is a refuge and strength. He is a present help in times of trouble, that I can be still and know that he's God and trust in him. And so it really is only through fighting the lies that are secretly that no one knows that you're thinking and you're being attacked in your mind by sitting every day and pouring over God's word and letting him exchange those lies for truth. Mm-hmm. Because that really is the only way to overcome it. He gets strongholds in there and he will, it's like a thread. He will just wrap it around and around and around. And before you know it, one thread is easy to snap, but a whole bunch of threads wrapped around, suddenly it is hard to break free. Mm-hmm. And so the only way to break free is through the word of God. And it's over and over and over, winding that truth. So that is what is so strong that we stand on firm, a firm foundation.
Yeah, so good. So good. Even when we don't think it or even maybe believe it, like mm-hmm. get back to it again, 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 saturate yeah. your mind in it.
That's right.
For women watching or listening right now who are finding themselves in a very difficult place, like in a place they did not, just as you said, did not ever think they would be in.
Right.
What kind of encouragement do you want to give to them today?
I think that nothing changes if we don't change ourselves first. And so I would say, sit down and reflect on the areas that you can control. Because in our lives, there's a lot of things that are out of our hands and out of our control. And when we focus on all those things, we feel like life is out of control. And that is where anxiety and worry and all those things enter in. And we can just be drugged down a very dark hole yeah. in that. But when we look at what are the things I can control today, what can I do? And so something that I've taught for years, and this was before even my marriage falling apart, is every fall I've done this thing online called the Making Your Home a Haven series. And I say, light a candle every morning in your kitchen and give thanks for something. And, you know, I have these simple rhythms. I play soft music in my kitchen and these are things I can control. I can turn on music that is worshipful and create a mood in my home. Mm-hmm. I can light a candle and I can let that flicker be a reminder to pray and give thanks for something in my life that day. I can, I would buy myself a bouquet of flowers. No one's bringing me home flowers, right? So I'm like, I'll buy myself my little $5 bouquet from the grocery store. I decided to make that a habit. My splurge was to have that in there. And when I looked at those flowers, I let it be a reminder that God loves me, the creator of those flowers. Simple things. I would go and sit and watch a sunset or watch a sunrise and remember that the creator of that loves me. I mean, it was just simple rhythms and then opening God's word and letting him speak to me and going to him in prayer in a journal and writing out my prayers and writing out my heart and my heartbreak and all of those things and leaving it there then in the journal, moving forward then with my day. I had a lot of things to get done with kids and, you know, and a house and, you know, finances and all these things. And so sometimes I needed to just write it out and then leave it there. Like, okay, left it safely with God. And now I'm going to move forward with my day. We got to get sometimes those emotions out. Journaling is a huge thing that I am for. I think it's very helpful. I always have done that since I was in high school, actually. And it's just interesting that some of the rhythms that I had created were the things that sort of broke during my crisis. Like everything was so chaotic. I couldn't keep any rhythms because there was no normal. And what was happening was I needed to create a new normal. And so there was a lot of chaos between my old normal and my new normal. But as I fought for a new normal and started those rhythms again, I found a new sense of peace and joy being restored in my life. And then I was able to come out on the other side.
That's really helpful. That's so helpful. I think for anyone right in that situation that feels chaotic, like you said, like, I don't even know up from down. I'm just trying to get through the day. I don't even know if I can expect anything from my husband today because he's not even living in our house or whatever the situation is. It's like, that is very, 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 very helpful. So thank you for that. I'm curious how you would answer this question, given your entire life's experiences up to today. What would you say? There's a lot of like younger moms that are a part of our community who have little littles who are running, you know, just day and night, wiping butts, dropping them off, get them, you know, just on, you know, as soon as you get one meal picked up, you're on to the next, cooking the next or whatever. And it's just constant. And they want to connect with their spouse. They want to be close with their husband, but they're just running ragged, right? And they're just so exhausted. What kind of advice would you give to them with everything you've experienced and walked through and just your wisdom? What would you say to them in that season of life, like how to tend to not only their marriage, but themselves maybe?
Well, I mean, I loved that season, even though it's a hard season. And I say that as a mom with two kids in college. So when I was in the season, I don't know if I would have said I loved it as much as now. I'm like, oh, to have those days back. So one day you will miss those little cars on the floor and the crayons that are broken and all those things. So that is done and over. So it is just a season. That's what I would say first. Yeah. This is a season. It will not last forever. New days are ahead. And yes, every day does have its own challenges. But during that season, we know, right, that God is to be our priority in our marriage, because our marriage outlasts our children. My children are now away. And had I not been remarried, I would be alone today. And I would be okay because God is with me. And so that's not a hopeless scenario. But I think it's really worth investing in your marriage, because that is the relationship that is long lasting. And so I would just say, fight for it. I mean, there's date nights, you know, the typical things. There's date nights, there's, you know, praying together. If he's willing to read the Bible just once a week together with you. I mean, these are the things that are happening in my marriage now. And they did that in my other marriage. So that's why it's hard, because I can't give you any guarantees, you know, that like, if you do these things, A plus B equals C. We were pure before marriage. We did a lot of the things that we were supposed to do, because that's kind of the girl I am. I'm like the church girl. I was raised in church since I was born, and I, you know, love to learn. And I read a lot of marriage books and parenting books. But it is part of what makes me look back at my marriage. And I don't have a lot of anger and bitterness for the time that we were together, because we did have a lot of great moments and memories that were made there. And those strengthen us later in life, good moments and memories. And so, like I said, now my husband and I read together once a week. We're reading the Bible together and we pray together every day. And we have date night, and those things they're helpful.
Yeah. Here's another question that just came to mind. Do you feel like, because we talk about boundaries, like safeguards that we can, you know, have in marriage and things like that, full access to devices, you know, not ever texting, you know, the opposite spouse unless obviously it's confidential, work related, that they're, you know, within churches, counseling offices, I mean, things like that, doctors, whatever, or medical professionals, whatever. But to include your spouse on a text, if you're going to be, you know, just things like that, right?
Yes. I believe in all those things.
Yeah.
Do it. We didn't.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask. Yeah. Did you have those?
That's how I made my discoveries.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's really, so what I love about what you just said, like, fight for your marriage, you know, do all the things that you can do to have a date night, pray together, open God's word together if your husband is willing, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. So then would you add now to that, knowing what you now know and maybe within your marriage currently, like, and have full access to devices?
That's passcode should be known. And yes, but the I have to be careful how much of the story I tell.
Yeah, don't feel
I could share. But it wasn't in, it was in his work emails.
So you probably wouldn't have been able to see that then.
No, it was a strange coincidence.
Yeah.
That I accidentally got access, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
So it was a strange coincidence that happened. And I feel like God then was revealing it to me. I had suspicions of something not being right. So it appeared like he was having a midlife crisis. Mm-hmm. So the things with the midlife crisis were happening. He was 40. We were both 40. And so there were things happening there. And I was like, oh, that's different. Okay. Like, he's getting so fit, you know, and stuff. And I'm like, oh,
that's
you
new.
Know, yeah. I was like, yes, let's go. You know, so back, those things were happening, but none of those things were enough to trigger me because I'm not a suspicious type of person. And then there were other things that he was doing during work that felt like they were crossing over into boundaries, and I was trying to overlook it to be understanding. But yes, the way I made the discovery, yes, was through work emails.
That is helpful to know, again, because on one hand we can say like, have boundaries in place, which yes, like all these things are so helpful and wise. It's just wise. And it's like, we should assume that that's what we have full access to each other's lives. We're married, right? And at the same time, the enemy is nasty and disgusting. And he is just schemy and slimy. And so there's like, but at the end of the day, it goes back to what your book is about. Like, only God, like when he is our portion. I was just listening to, I don't know if you know who Jess Ray is. She's a artist. She's a Christian artist, and she has a new album out, which I will link below, but it's beautiful. And one of the lyrics says, you know, something like, when you are my portion, it is then that I see it is all I ever needed, you know, like, it's just the most beautiful thing. And so even at the end of the day, you can do all the things right, right? We can set up all the boundaries. We can have all the date nights. None of them.
Yeah. And I have something I want to add to that is that it's because it comes down to character.
Yeah.
And the problem is that if you sit and think that you are responsible as the wife to somehow do the right thing to be pleasing and bend yourself into a pretzel to try to, like, for me, I was trying to win him back from the other woman, and we're in like this weird triangle that was not healthy. At the end of the day, I couldn't control his character in that season and the choices he was making. So that was on him. So it wasn't how, it doesn't matter how many times we're praying together and how many times we're going to church together, what Bible study we're leading, or if I have access to everything, if his character is such that he is willing to open a door to that. Yes, we want to put in all the safeguards and protections. But at the end of the day, we have to trust in our marriages.
Yes.
If we don't have to, we have to trust. And we can destroy our marriages by not trusting. That's the other side. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, there is a point where you can only do so much on your end, and then it's on them.
Yep.
And you have to release that and not live in fear in that sense. And knowing that if you are like in this battle and you're trying everything and you're like, okay, we're doing date nights, we're doing this, but I'm like in this situation where trust is getting broken, that at the end of the day, trust God.
Yeah.
His character is trusted. He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of all of this. Yes, you have to walk through it. Nobody else can walk through it for you. Mm-hmm. You are the one that is going to have to walk through it, but God is faithful. Mm-hmm. He is with you. He will walk through the fire with you, and you will come out on the other side.
Yes.
And you will. Yeah.
Ding. Hello. Amen. It's fine. It's real life. I love it. It was perfect timing. It was a ding on Courtney's device that was like, amen to that. Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, again, if you're just joining, we have been talking about Courtney's brand new book, Still Standing, How to Live in God's Light While Wrestling with the Dark. It's real, it's raw and helpful. And you just got to get it. It's linked below. So go grab it. Courtney, we always ask our guests to pray over the wives before we close. Would you mind doing that?
I'd love to do that. Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just love you so much. And I am so thankful that you are the rock at the bottom when the bottom falls out. God, you are with us and you love us. You sent your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us and to pay for all of our sins so that we could come and be with you. And that is our hope, Lord. And we know that in the end, no matter what, that everything will be okay, even when everything is not okay. Father, I pray that you will strengthen the marriages of those who are listening, Lord. I pray that you would protect them. I pray that you would destroy the enemy, any footholds that he has in these marriages, that you would just let them be found and that they would be released from it and that they would be free and that you would just use their marriages for your glory, Lord. Lord, we love you and we need you. Thank you for your help. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Courtney. Appreciate your obedience again to writing the book and or for writing the book. And I know it's going to bless so many women wherever they are in their journey and in their circumstances. Thank you for giving us hope when things are so hard. And
thank you for having me.
Yes, of course. I'm sure you'll be back on. I just have a feeling. So yeah, thank you so much, everyone, for being with us. We love you and we will be back next week for an all new episode. Bye-bye.